In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Be seated. Good morning. I've got paint dust in my lungs this morning, so this morning I kept having to clear my throat, so if I do that again, I apologize. And many of you who were here helped paint on my house yesterday and really appreciate that. This morning's reading is a wonderful one because it speaks to really something central to the Christian life. And if I were going to ask you this question, maybe I were giving a pop quiz. Susie, you're in the front? No, I'm not going to do that. What is the Christian life all about? Or if I could rephrase the question slightly, what is at the heart of the Christian life? What might you say if someone asks you that? What might you say? Well, I hear mumbles. Okay. Love. The passage this morning, we have heard a lot about love. But one of the things that it makes clear to us is that the heart of the Christian life is about relationship. In particular, the heart of the Christian life is a relationship with Jesus, a relationship with God through Christ, is being plugged into the vine, to use the metaphor that Jesus uses here as he's talking to his disciples. And this is really important because the way we think about what the heart of the Christian life is of course going to impact the way that we go about living it. I remember a conversation with, actually I was overhearing the conversation, but it was another pastor who said, when I see people who are out there kind of loving their neighbors, being nice, doing good things and everything, he said, I struggle to understand why they should be in church. This is a pastor who's saying this. But he said, it's like they're already getting it. And it's clear from what he was saying in the conversation that he was thinking of it this way. The Christian life was really about doing certain kinds of things out there in the world. And, of course, that's an essential part of the Christian life, but it isn't the heart of it. Because what Jesus calls us to is not holding up some kind of a model and then he says, okay, people now go out there and do it. But he's calling us into a kind of a fellowship with him. Think about a contrast here. Some years ago, I remember reading a classic book on investments by Benjamin Graham. And when you read something like that, and you want to put it into practice, well, what do? You see, what are the principles in here? And then I go and I try and work it out. Now, Benjamin Graham was not involved in that process whatsoever. In fact, he's dead. So he wasn't helping me, he wasn't guiding me, he wasn't with me. He said, here's the manual, you read it, you figure it out what to do with it. And sometimes we can think about the Christian life in that way. Like, here's a whole bunch of good principles, so go out there and do it. But one of the things Jesus emphasizes in this passage is that is not going to work. Apart from a life in Jesus, the life to which Jesus calls us is quite literally impossible. We'll say more about that in a minute. But this is the heart, in the vine. The Christian life is fundamentally about relationship with God through Christ. And what that means, what that consists in when we're in the vine, is fellowship, first of all. So it's fellowship with God, the Holy Spirit. It also means empowerment. Through the Holy Spirit, we come to be able to do the things that God has called us to do. And it also means transformation. And transformation particularly of the things that we on our own cannot touch. So let's unpack this a little bit. Being in the vine. Notice one thing that comes at the beginning of the passage. It's kind of quick and easy to skip over. That Jesus says this, I am the true vine. The true vine. And for Israel, in their history, the vine had come to be a very important part of the symbolism of the nation, just like maybe the eagle, the bald eagle is for us. In fact, at an earlier date in their history, they printed coins that had a vine on them, and that represented the nation of Israel. So kind of a symbol for them. And God, in the Old Testament, in several places, speaks about Israel as a vine. I took this vine out of Egypt, and I planted it in the soil, and tended it, and cared for it. And what's interesting about that is that what we hear in those contexts from the prophets is that, nevertheless, this vine wasn't producing anything. So God had planted this vine, and he had looked for fruit upon it and didn't find it. And Jesus picks up on that same theme often in his own preaching. So Jesus is saying, look, the vine that is finally going to be producing the fruit that God is looking for is me. I am the true vine. I am the place that when you get connected, the life that God has always wanted to spill out in our lives is going to be coming forth. So that's really important. First thing he says, I'm the source, and there isn't another one. And if we think about this question, okay, being in the vine is central, is important. What does that mean? How do we actually get into the vine? And this part is actually relatively simple, because the gospel tells us that getting into the vine, or to use another metaphor, being adopted into the family of God, is simply a matter of repentance and a grabbing hold in faith of what God has offered to us. Think about the words of Peter when he's giving what is really the first sermon of the church at Pentecost, and he's talking about who Jesus was and what he did, and the crowd, the text says, was cut to the heart, and they say, "What are we supposed to do?" And he says, "Repent and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So Peter's saying, in other words, you want to be grafted into this vine? You want to join into the life with Jesus? It's a simple matter of repentance, turning to him, being filled with his Holy Spirit, and that's what it means to be joined up to the vine. But in this passage, Jesus is particularly interested in this question. Okay, getting in was one thing. What does it mean to abide there? What does it mean to stay in? What does it mean to really live into that life of the vine? And the metaphor here is really a good one, because it's so suggestive of intimacy. Being part of a plant is being connected on such a deep level where the sap flows and all the rest of that. And one thing that being connected with Jesus means, being abiding means, is that kind of intimacy, that we cultivate that. And as I said with the kids up here a few minutes ago, we kind of know what that looks like already. We cultivate intimacy by prayer. We cultivate intimacy by spending time with God, and by spending time with God's people, by spending time in God's Word. And in the same passage, we go just a little bit out on either end. One of the other things that Jesus emphasizes here several times, repeating, is that abiding in me also means obedience. He says, "You love me, you're going to obey my commandments. And the Father is going to love you. We're going to come and we're going to make our dwelling with you." So a life of abiding in Jesus is a life of obeying the things that Jesus has called us to do. And he also says in the passage that we said, abiding means abiding in my words. That connection is really important, because if we're to obey, if we're to walk in the stuff Jesus called us to walk in, we need to know what it is. So he's saying to the disciples, you need to have my words really firmly in your mind, so that as you're living, you know what it is that I've called you to do. I was reading recently in the Old Testament a really interesting piece of Deuteronomy where Moses is speaking about a king. He says, someday you guys are going to have a king over you, even though I've told you it's not a good idea. You're going to do it. So, but here's what needs to happen. That king needs to take a manuscript and copy for himself the entire law. So the first several books of the Old Testament, it's a lot of work. And he needs to keep that with him all the days of his life and read from it all the days of his life. Why? Because the person who's going to be in leadership in Israel has to so internalize the law that he knows the way to lead the people in God's will. So Jesus is saying a very similar point here. If you're going to be my follower, you've got to get this stuff inside of you. You've got to understand my words so that you may be able to walk in them. So abiding speaks to this closeness of fellowship with Jesus. And if that's the heart of the Christian life, is this mode of living in Jesus, the result of the Christian life, he tells us here, then is the bearing of fruit. The result is the bearing of fruit. It's just a natural thing here. When a vine is healthy, fruit happens. And if we pause on that and we say, okay, what does that actually mean? What's fruit? Let's get outside of the metaphor a little bit here. We can see fruit talked about a couple of different places in the New Testament. One of them that maybe comes to mind is where we read of the fruits of the Spirit. So love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control. So these are things that, in other words, as the Spirit starts to live in us, we start to see these budding. And these are all areas in which we grow, but they spring into life. And so one of the things Jesus is saying is, as you're in the vine, the life of the vine, he's the vine, remember, starts to show up in you too, and you'll start to bear that fruit. But another thing to notice about fruit is, though it looks good from a distance, it's got beauty to it, it's also tasty when you eat it. But ultimately, what is fruit for? It's for reproduction. It is the way the vine makes more vines. And Jesus also, in many places, is speaking of fruitfulness in terms of this way, reproduction. When you're living in the life that God has called you to, you're going to start to reproduce the things that God is doing in you. So the life that he pours into you, you're going to start to radiate that life into people around you. So fruit that is growing on the vine is reproducing itself in the lives of other people. So this is fruitfulness. And notice what Jesus says in the passage here. He says, you are going to bear fruit. If you remain in the vine, if you abide in me, you will bear fruit. There's a promise in that. We don't have to think, well, am I going to be someone who bears fruit, or is that just for someone else? Or no, Jesus says anyone, everyone who is in Christ is going to be bearing fruit in their lives as long as they're remaining in the vine. And notice the other thing that Jesus says here. Apart from me, though, you're not going to bear anything. Apart from me, you can do nothing, he says. And maybe when we first hear that, that strikes us as strange a little bit. What in the world does he mean by that, to do nothing? Because surely there's all kinds of things we can do that are good things that really don't have, you know, maybe I'm an atheist and I can do lots of good things. And I think what Jesus is trying to highlight here is, yes, but there's a particular kind of thing that I'm talking about here. Not just anything, but the fruit that comes by God. So maybe we put it this way, the kinds of things that God alone can do, God alone can do. I think of a video I saw recently with a young lady. She was maybe 23. She was telling the story about her own life, and she says, you know, 2 years ago, she was a radical Muslim, and she used to spend her time watching ISIS videos of beheadings and other things like that. And she said, I was filled with so much desire to go, she was in France, to go to Syria and be able to join up and blow up infidels and do that kind of stuff. And she was full of hatred and anger and all the rest of that. In the middle of that, someone had given her a New Testament. And as she sat down and read that, something kind of cracked in her heart, and she really grabbed a hold of who Jesus was. And as she was talking about her life now, and you can see her face and everything, she was so filled with joy, and she said, it's entirely different. So now my feeling toward other people is love, and I want to go out there and tell them about what God can do in their lives. And this is the sort of thing that, apart from the work of God, just does not happen. Only God radically transforms the human heart. And so Jesus is pointing that here. Look, if you're trying to be in that business without God's empowerment, it's not going to happen. Not my heart and not someone else's heart. Only God is able to change and touch the heart. Now, after this discussion, or in the midst of this rather, about abiding, what this means and what the fruit is, we get one of these sober parts from Jesus' words. There's a warning in here. Actually, a very stark warning, because in the beginning he says, branches that are in me that are bearing fruit, I'm going to prune so they'll be more fruitful. But those that are not bearing fruit are going to be cut out and are going to be tossed into the fire and they're going to be burned up. Now, this is a metaphor, obviously, that we're pursuing here. It's not good, though. It's not something good. This is not something where we want to be. Jesus is giving a very stern warning, saying, God expects fruitfulness. God expects fruitfulness. And we are going to be accountable before God for our lives in the production of fruit or not. This is, again, a theme that Jesus announces in several different parables, some of them agricultural, some of them otherwise. Think about the parable of the talents. But time and again, he emphasizes this point. Our lives are not our own. God expects that we bear fruit for him in them. As we think about our own lives and kind of reflect on that a little bit and ask, well, what do I see? Is there fruitfulness or not? I think maybe there's two things that can be going on, because we may say, I don't know that I see a lot of fruit. Maybe it's just winter time. You know, when branches are, they don't grow grapes year round. There's a season to it, and there are seasons in our life. And one of the things that we have to remember is that God grows the fruit, not us. And what he calls us to then is the abiding. That's our job. That's our work. And if we're abiding, then we might say, man, God, I don't feel like I'm very fruitful here. I don't feel like much is going on. It's just, you know, don't worry about it. I grow the fruit. You would do the abiding. So maybe we're in winter. But another possibility raised in the passage is that maybe we're just dead. And the reason we don't see fruit in our life is because we are not connected to the vine. And it sounds really stark, but what Jesus says here is really stark. It says God is calling us to be in the vine and to be producing his fruit, and he's going to hold us accountable for it. So to kind of recap here, the heart of the Christian life in this passage we see is this abiding, a relationship with God in Christ. And the result of the Christian life, Jesus says, is fruitfulness. It's natural. When you're in Christ, you're going to bear fruit. And notice at the very end of the passage, we see one final thing. The end of the Christian life, what its purpose is serving, he says, is the glory of God. Do you notice that he says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. That's what it's about. When we think about Jesus' life, that's what he was about. It's not about me. So this is about Father's glory and doing his will and serving his purposes and his end. And we're called into the same thing. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about us. It's about God and his kingdom and his purposes. And Jesus' promise to us is that as we make ourselves about that, then we are going to live lives that are fruitful for him. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the call to be part of your vine. And we ask, Lord, that you would give us hearts eager to do your will, that you would give us, Lord, a will to abide, and that you would produce in our lives fruitfulness. And Father, we just thank you for what that means and your invitation to be part of your life. In Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.